It's interesting. We're going to do the message of 2 John today. Another post-it note from God. So if you're ready to go, we'll go ahead and set up. Get ready for the message today. I really enjoy preaching the Word or sharing the Word, or whatever you call it that I do. And I was out eating the other night. Got it prime time. I told you, if you stay tuned enough, I'm going to tell you all the rest of some time. Well, here's another one, prime time. Now, see, I like to go there because every once in a while I like a little Southwestern stuff, you know, or Mexican or whatever you call it. We didn't have it where I was from. So anyway, but I enjoy it. That's where I go for that. And they got good iced tea. So anyway, but I'm there and my wife and I, and then Tracy comes over the other night. Right on the front row, embarrassing. Amen. Tracy come over and he's been coming. He's from Las Vegas and working in the area and comes when he's in the area. And just came out of his way, just encouraged me. So, Pastor, I get so much out of it. I look forward to coming on Sunday. I guess he does. He sat on the front row today for crying out loud. Amen? But I tell you, it's just wonderful to be able to share the Word of God with you. And to do it in a unique way. And uniqueness is really the Roger Johnson end of it. He's able to take these things. And I think that today's message will be a blessing to you. And all the intricate details that went into making this message what it is today on the big screen. So let's go with it right now. Post-it notes from God. Why do we call it post-it notes from God? Because these are those four little short one-chapter books in the New Testament. I mean, honestly, I think if we were writing, we'd go, oh, we don't need this. Let's leave this one out. One little book? Come on, we don't need this one. God thought we needed it. Amen? It's in the Word of God. It's a post-it note. We need to stick it on us. We need to learn something today from this book. So let's look at it. We're moving. Today is 2 John. Can you say that with me? 2 John. Now, to find 2 John, the easiest way is to go to the back of your Bible, back up Revelation, and then you've got Jude, and then you're going to have 3 John, and guess what? 2 John. So back it up from the back and find it, because it's hard to find, I'm telling you. If it's only just one page, it's always one page in that big Bible. You get lost in there, okay? So find it this morning. I'm also going to have the scriptures on the big screen as well. It's the shortest book in the Bible. Let's find something today at Fellowship. What's the shortest book in the Bible? 2 John. Boom, there you go. Go ask a man on the street. You know, they don't know that. What's your book in the Bible? Genesis. You know what I'm saying? So you already know something. Shortest book in the Bible is 2 John. It has how many verses? 13. Only 13 verses. Now that's a short book. And yet people still say, why don't I have time to read the Bible? Hello? 13 verses? You ain't got time to read the Bible? You can read a whole book. Amen. People ask me to read about it. Read a whole book. Kind of spiritual. Yeah, you don't tell me it's 13 verses. There you go. Shortest book in the Bible. Though his name's not mentioned, it's overwhelming to believe that the Apostle John was the author. Because it's characteristic of his writings. John the Baptist didn't write a book. A lot of people think John the Baptist. They see John the Baptist was the Apostle John that wrote the Gospel of John. The Apostle John that wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And he also wrote the book of Revelation. The inspiration of the Holy Spirit. God used this man to say what he wanted to say. So, that's the author of this little book. It's the only book in the Bible addressed to a lady and her children. We learned something. This is a pretty important book, isn't it? Look at that already. Shortest one. It's written to a lady and her children. Doesn't mean that women aren't important, but just the way it is. The only one that was written to a lady and her kids. Concerning, let's look at it. 2 John, verse 1, part of it. The elder unto the elect lady and her children. Now, a couple of things about this lady. Who is this lady? Well, it's believed that she was an actual woman and her kids. It's written to a woman and her kids. Or it was written to a church and those who were part of that church. Makes no difference to me which one it was. Fact of the matter is, truth is truth. Amen? But I can very easily see why someone would say the last, that it was written to a church, the elect lady. And then he closes out. You know, the sisters, your sister that greets you, you know, speaking of a church and the family. So I can see why it's said of that. But when I look at the Bible today and when I read it, man, I read it as it's all for me anyway. Amen? That's the way I read the Bible. Well, this was written to this person. No, it was written to me. God wants me to get into it and not have some pop-out excuse. Well, that was written a big thousand years ago. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with you and with me. So, a little bit of background on the book. Now, also, you notice that we say that because the church is called what? The Bride of Christ. And Christ is our bridegroom. We're the bride. So it makes perfectly good sense. Either way, it doesn't bother me a bit. Let's look at this post-it note from God. Let's see what we can get to stick on this today. Amen? Let's see what we can get to stick on. Since the thing about those little post-it notes, you know, I like post-it notes better than some tape pads. Because post-it notes has that what on the back of it?
Sticky.
That little sticky stuff. You see? Just a red old pad. If you're like me, yeah, I wrote that down, I lost it. I needed to stick, baby. I needed to stick somewhere. And so, whether it's the fridge or the dash or somewhere, listen, I want to get something to stick on me today in this message. So now we move into the message today on 2 John. We're going to break this up into three statements, three categories. It's only 13 verses. Now, the first one is this. He commends her. Can you say that with me? He commends her. Let's look at the verses. Verse 1. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the what? Truth. And not of the eye, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Verse 3. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. He commends you. Look at verse 4. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in the truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. So the first four verses carries a commendation. A way to go, man! A way to go, girl. Whatever. All right? Way to go, lady! It's a way to go. It's a commendation. You're doing great. Fantastic. The way you've been living and doing what you're doing. But here's what hits me. You can't read these verses without getting hit by two words. You can't read these verses. Matter of fact, you can't read all 13 of them without two words hitting you right upside the head. And that's truth and love. Okay? So what's the main gist of this book? What is it? Truth and love. Truth is mentioned 5 times. Love is mentioned 4 times. And walking in it is mentioned 3 times. So you got 13 verses for crying out loud. If you mention truth 5 times and love 4 times and walking in it 3 times, I believe we got the message of the book, don't you? Man, keep it simple. Amen? That's what it was. So truth and love are the two words that hit me head on. So what's the book about? It's about truth and it's about love. He said, I love you in the truth. He said, those that know you love you. Know that you walk in the truth. And he said, you and the children are walking in truth. And so, he commends her for doing that. Now, let's break it down. It's all about, here it is, truth and love. Love and truth. That's what it's all about. That's what this is all about. But guess what? That's what Christian life's all about. Hello? All of a sudden, this book went to being just a 13-verse book, but what's that about? What's about? It's about everything. It's about the main thing. It's about the main thing in your life. It's all about truth and love and truth. That's what it's all about. The one is not complete without the other. It would be like Gary. I feel this way about my wife. I'm Gary, Joy, Joy, Gary. Gary, Joy, Joy, Gary. Joy, Gary, Joy, Gary, Joy, Joy, Gary. I mean, I'm not complete without that woman. Okay? That didn't have anything to do with what I just said right there. But you have the truth and the love, baby. Amen? So I guess it does have something to do with it. But you know, the one is not complete without the other. Now really stay focused with me. I want us to really think. This is very, 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 very important. Truth without love can lead to legalism. I want you to really think that through. Now we're going to talk about it. What is legalism? Let's talk about it. The Pharisees were those religious rulers in the time of Christ. They were so careful to dot every I, to cross every T, they stuck to the letter of the law like it was glue. But they didn't have any love. Well, they knew the truth, didn't they? Mm-hmm, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's look at what they did. Look at this. This is one part. Jesus talking.
Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint, anise, and cumin, that was little herb leaves from their herb garden. These guys were so stuck on the law, the truth, that they went out and they counted all their little leaves. Got to give God his little leaf. Does that make any sense? That's all right to do that. But look what Jesus said. You did all that, but you omitted the weightier matters of the law. Judgment, mercy, faith, because they were so legalistic oriented, and the law. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Keep going. You blind guys, you strain your neck, swallow a camel. And that's what can happen when you have truth without love. You can be right as rain, but never accomplish anything but Jesus Christ. Truth without love can lead to legalism. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You may clean the outside cup, bring that fat cup, bring that fat cup. And a platter, but within you're full of extortion and excess. I've said it before, if I've got to have a dirty cup, let the outside be dirty, and I'll be inside clean. Amen?
Amen.
The bottom of the plate, let it be dirty, the top of it clean. That's all right. Listen. Now, it's obvious, let's clean both if we can. Amen? Verse 28. Even so ye outwardly appear righteous unto men, but you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity on the inside. So back to what we're saying here. Truth without love can lead to legalism. Truth must have what? Love. And love must have what? So let's look at the next statement. Love without truth can lead to liberalism. Or this word might be better. License. Or a casualness when it comes to the holy things and to the truth of God. Does that make any sense to you? You know, it's all about love, baby. You know? And I can think of so many stories, so many incidences. And I'm not just going to pick one out, but I do want to just pick, I just want to say one word before we get into the scripture. 30 years ago, the Episcopal Church would have never thought of having an ordained priest who was a homosexual. Not only do they have him now, they make him bishop. What am I saying? That doesn't mean that they don't teach some good truth and some good things can come out of it. But I'm telling you what, in the name of love and not standing for the truth, my friend, you can get way off track. Are you hearing me today? Say. That's what I'm talking about. And, it used to be sin was sin. And now it's not in a lot of our thinking. Listen, I don't buy a lot of our thinking. Here, what it matters is what the Bible says and the way you take that Bible and you accept it and apply it to your life and truth is truth. And you view that the best way to live your life, my friend. And not just by putting your finger up in the air.
Yay. But we love everybody.
Hey, love's important. But if you don't have the truth to guide you in your love, you're messed up, my friend. And you're not going to accomplish what God wants to accomplish in your life. Let's look and see one story out of the Bible. David and the Ark of the Covenant. I spoke of this in the early service, many weeks ago. But here's the story. David had been a great man. He had run from Saul and king, and things were settling down in Jerusalem. And David wanted to go get the Ark of the Covenant, where the presence of God was dwelling, and he wanted to bring that to Jerusalem. And so that's a good thing, isn't it? I mean, he loved the Lord, man. Let's go get that. Let's do that. Let's read it. Here we go. Let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. All the time Saul was king, the ark of the covenant, where the presence of God was, wasn't important. But David loved the Lord, so let's go get it, guys. So here's what he did. And all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. Keep moving. And they carried the ark of God in a new cart. They put the ark on a cart with wheels out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio, or Ohio, whichever you're from, drave the cart. Okay? And David and all of Israel played before God. The instruments with all their might, singing with harps, with psalteries, with timbrels, with cymbals, with trumpet. They were so excited. They loved God. The ark was coming to Jerusalem. Let's see what happens. When they came into the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And old Uzzah reached forth his hand to stay in the ark. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he killed him, because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before God.
Boy, if you're not careful, you'll read that and think, God is pretty mean, isn't it? Pretty tough. And the ark was on the cart, and all it was falling on. He tried to keep it from falling, and he put his hand on it.
The question, David loved the Lord. But David had a problem with knowing the truth. What's the truth of the matter? Well, let's look and see what the truth of the matter is.
Exodus. How do you handle the ark of the covenant? Here's how you do it. Thou shalt put the staves into the rings on the side of the ark, that the ark may be borne with them. So the idea, here's this box and rings on the side. You put the poles through it. Nobody ever touches it. The poles rest on the shoulders, and you carry this away. You get my chance to know. That's how you carry it. You don't touch it. Okay? The staves shall be in the rings of the ark. They shall not be what? Taken from it. Here's my point. And that is this. David loved the Lord, no question. But he didn't seek out what the truth of the matter was, and it caused tragedy. Okay? And David was displeased, he got depressed, he left the ark at Obed-Edom's house, until finally he searched the scriptures, figured out what was the situation, they did it the right way, and they brought it to Jerusalem. Amen?
Amen.
So the point is this, truth without love can lead to legalism, but love without truth can lead to liberalism or license or an anything goes attitude. And that's not going to apply. You must have both. Let's keep moving, Rod. And look at verse number 3. Grace be unto you, mercy and peace from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Here's something really important too that I found out. When you have truth and love, you get grace, mercy, and peace. Can you say that with me? When you have truth and love, you get grace, mercy, and peace. What is grace? That's God's favor. What is mercy? God's compassion. What is peace? A God-given tranquility in your life. Truth and love are vital, my friend. That we know the Word, that we believe the Word, and that we know His Word is true, and that Jesus is the only way to heaven. It's so important that you know that. Okay? And that you realize that God is love, and you're to love, and you're to love people, and you're to love each other. That is so vital. And when you do that, you get grace, mercy, and peace. Here's what I call it. I call that a great buy for two deal. Amen? Don't you like that when you buy something, you go to the store and you find out you can get one free? Man, buy two, get one free. It's buy two, get three, one free. Amen?
Amen?
Stay with truth and love. That's what it's all about. Truth, truth, truth. Don't let one outweigh the other. Come on. That's what this little book is saying, I believe. Second thing is this. So he, number one, commends her. Stay with me now. Don't sleep on me. Number one, he commends her. Number two, he commands her. So he commended her for doing what? Walking in what? Truth and
love.
He commands her, guess what? To do what? To walk in truth and love. Let's see it. Verses 5 and 6. And now I beseech you, lady, not as though I already been commanded unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments, which is true. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. So he commands. He commands her. Walk in truth and love. And you know what he commands her? Not a new commandment. Same thing. Yeah. It's one of the weirdest little things I've ever seen as I study scriptures. All 3 points are the same. Just a different first word. He commends, he commands, and then he cautions. To walk in truth, walk in truth, walk in truth. It's in love. It's all about that. It's what this little book's about. So let's keep it. To do what? He commands her to do what? Well, said already, to walk in truth and love. Keep moving. Just a verse on love one another. 1 John, he said it in 1 John. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. How many remembers that little song? Let's sing. Here we go. That's right. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. love. And that's just a scripture on love. Let's look at some scriptures on truth. I just want to rattle them off real quick just so you can see them. John, all from John, and the Word was made flesh, dwelt among us. This was Jesus. We beheld His glory. The glory is only begotten of the Father, full of grace and what? Truth. Say it with me when we see truth. Here we go. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is truth. Let's look at another one. John 8:32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:45. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Jesus was telling the truth, but it didn't fly with Pharisees, so they didn't believe. Okay? John 14:6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Walk in truth. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. He that loves me shall be loved of my Father. I will love him. I will manifest myself to him. Walking in truth and love, friend, that's how we experience Jesus Christ. So, He commends her. He commands her, and here's where we're getting to. We're going to be finished. Hang in here with me. He cautions her. This is really important. He cautions her. Cautions her to do what? To walk in truth and... People, help me here. He cautions her to walk in
truth and love.
Command, command, caution. Same last word. You can get it. You can take it. You got it. Here we go. He cautions her. First thing he cautions her is to be on guard against Satan. To be on guard against Satan. Let's look at this. Verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Say it with me. This is a deceiver and a... Doesn't sound like a good guy, does it? No. This is of the devil. When people do what? When people are deceivers. When people... are teaching that Jesus Christ is not come in the flesh. Let's look at a couple other verses. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, what doctrine? That Jesus Christ was born, that He lived, that He died, that He rose from the dead, that He alone can save you from your sins. If anybody comes to you preaching, teaching any other doctrine than this, what does it say? Receive him into your house. They're being Godspeed. But wait a minute. We're supposed to love them. You see how truth must have love said? You're going to open yourself up to all kinds of false teaching? You're going to open yourself to anything goes? It comes down the pike and you're going to end up dying and going to hell, or maybe others that you allow this influence in are going to lead others and use you as part of their influence? Friend, you need truth and love. Be on guard against Satan. Look at verse 11. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. The Bible teaches that when people teach anything other than Jesus Christ, that He came, that He died on the cross, that He's the way, when people teach that, we should never say, God bless you. We should never say, I hope it's well with you. I'm not saying we got to be mean as a hornet and, you know, as mean as a dirty old dog to them. I'm not saying that. But somehow, you don't let them think that you think what they're doing is okay. That's truth and love. But I gotta love them. You never love anybody. We're not confronting them and telling them the truth. You do that with your kid? Well, he just ran out of the car in the street last weekend. He got run over, but I love him. You know, and now he's out there again this week in the street, and I ain't gonna tell him God love him. You know, of course you can't raise kids like that. We got to teach them truth, right? That might not have been a good story, but that's the point. Okay? Maybe he wasn't supposed to get run over first. He's been playing. The fact of the matter is, we've got to be on guard against Satan. Now, two things about Satan. Here it is. Number one, he distorts the truth. Can you say that with me? He distorts the truth. There'll be people that'll be teaching a false religion, false cult, whatever, but they'll tell you, oh no, we believe in Jesus, and it usually is followed by this. Two, we believe in Jesus only.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
For God so loved the world that He gave His number two son or only son? Gave His only son. Friend, I'm telling you, He distorts the truth, and he just used just a little bit. Here we go. Here's something else. He slips in. He slips in. He slips in. That's what Satan does. He'll creep in unawares if you're not careful. When you've got the truth guard down, you got the love guard up. Truth and love. Live in a balance. Be on guard against Satan. Here's the other thing he says. Be on guard against yourself. Be on guard against yourself. What's the scripture say? Look to yourself. 2 John, verse 8 and 9. That we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresses and abides not the doctrine of Christ has not God. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. I think a lot of folks, they mean well, they trust the Lord even, they get on this path and they're walking fine. But I tell you what, it didn't take long. You're walking and you're just walking a little like this. And before long, you're out here and God's not even with you. You're not walking with God. God's over here, friend. You need to guard yourself. Check yourself out. See if you're believing the Word. Don't depart from the truth. Satan distorts the truth. You know what we do? We depart from the truth. You need to be in your Bible. You need to read your Bible. You need to know what the Bible says. We believe the Bible here. I had a membership luncheon this past Sunday. First thing on the what we believe the Bible is perfect. And people can't handle that. You believe the Bible is perfect. That sounds arrogant. I believe the Bible is perfect. And you know what? That's the way I live my life. I believe it. It has been perfect for Clarksville, I'll tell you that. It's blessed my life. I believe the Word of God is perfect. Don't depart from the truth. Satan slips in. You know what we do? We slip away. We slip away. Boy, sometimes we can be on guard against Satan so much, but let me tell you, be on guard against yourself. You can screw yourself up, excuse me, if you don't watch it. So he cautions her. Now here's the last thing, and we are done, but this is important. Be intolerant. Whoa! I thought fellowship was a church that loved Jesus and loved people. We are.
Amen.
It takes a lot more love, I think, to be intolerant about some things than anything goes. Let me tell you, parenting is not an easy thing, is it, Mom? I'll just do what you want to. Take the car. I'll see you next week. Teenager. Or, can we do this? Well, you know, family time is important too. We'd like to spend a little time with you. But why? Well, God, it's important. It's so easy to roll over and go, I don't care, whatever you want to do. I'm just not one of those dads. Certain things are important. You've got to be intolerant in certain things. Here's what I'm talking about right here, though. Intolerant. Be intolerant. Get your theology from the Bible. Can you say that with me? Get your theology from the Bible. See, theology is the teaching of God. Get your teaching about God and what God says from the Bible. Can we say that one more time? Get your theology from the Bible. Be intolerant. Be intolerant. And here's what I want to say. Don't get your theology from President Bush. I love President Bush.
Amen.
I pray for him. He's the President of the United States of America, and I honor him for that. But let me tell you something. I don't get my theology from him. And it bothers me, but I understand where he's coming from. He's the President of how many people? All the people. But it bothers me, and I know it's going to be a little ugly, but it bothers me when he says that Muslims and the Muslim religion is a peace-loving religion. It's one of the great religions of the earth, and somehow it's informed it. That's a God. I'm intolerant to that. Why? Because the Bible is so clear against it. The Bible says that Jesus died. Jesus came. He rose from the dead. He's the only way to the Father, period. And that I guess. I understand where he's coming from. You just need to be on guard, my friend. You don't get your theology from the president, from the governor, from the commissioners. Get your theology from the Word of God. That's where you put it. Truth and love. And that's, again, not to say that I don't love people in authority and leadership. I do, but I ain't getting my theology from them. I'd be all warped. You probably think you're already warped. Let's look at a couple of scriptures. Psalms. Whereby shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto to thy what? Word. Look at this one. Thy what? Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Look at this one. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Psalm 119, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So be intolerant. Get your theology from the Bible. And I appreciate a couple of you talk to me every once in a while. I might say something and you might not see it that way. But it gets you, and you're looking at Scripture, and it causes me sometimes to look in a little, but guess what? We're both going back to the what? To the Word. Here's the second thing. Do introspection. Be intolerant. That's a couple of things that this book taught me and showed me. Be intolerant, but also do introspection. That means check yourself out regularly. See where you are in your faith. See where you are and how you're doing and how you're living for Jesus Christ and what you believe. Do you hear me? We're a non-denominational church, but that doesn't mean we're a bunch of denominations and we threw it in a pot and somehow whatever comes out, comes out. We're non-denominational. We believe the Bible.
Amen.
You heard it from the preacher, man. We believe it's perfect. And that's what we teach. And the overriding theme of the Bible, there's no question about it, is truth and love. The truth is God loves you. Amen? That's it.
Amen.
And He died for you. He wants you to go to heaven. What we learned from this book today, here we go, Raj. The post-it notes. Number one, here it is. I commend you today if you're walking in truth and love. I commend you and God commends you if you're walking in truth and love. Second thing, God says, I command you to walk in truth and love. I command you. That is a command from the Word of God to walk in truth and love. And then finally, God says to us today, I caution you to walk in truth and love. That's what it's all about. Truth and love. And I want to finish with this verse, John 3:16. And I don't mean to be irreverent. But we know the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He what? Gave His only begotten Son. Let's stop right there. Can you imagine God coming to Jesus one day in heaven and saying, Jesus, I'd like you to go to be born down there on planet Earth in a dirty cow stall. And I want you to grow up poor as dirt. And people are going to call you an illegitimate child probably most of your life. And you're going to live in obscurity. You're really not going to be a star. Okay? And then, about age 30, you're going to start doing miracles and things like that. And a lot of people are going to say, that's great. There's a lot of people going to hate your guts. They're going to spit in your face. They're going to lead you to the hill one day, try to throw you off of there. Ultimately, they're going to crucify you, Jesus. Stick nails in your hands and leave Jesus just listening. And he goes, he says this. But why? Well, because we love Him. Love without truth isn't going to cut it. Follow me here. Listen. Why would I do that? All roads lead to heaven. It doesn't matter what people believe, right? Why would I need to go die for these people? I just don't love them. They could be fun. Good idea. What you thinking? That's how stupid, excuse me. Living your life just with truth or just with love. It would be just like that. I don't know if I made the case clear to you, but here is truth and love. You're going to die. You're going to be crucified. You're going to raise from the dead. And Jesus doesn't go, but why? Jesus knows why. Because the truth of the matter is, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Those people on that planet don't have a dog's chance to come up here because I'm a holy God. And sin isn't going to enter into my heaven. And so Jesus, if it's going to happen, you are going to go to the cross. You're going to die. You're going to resurrect. And people through the ages are going to confess their sins and they're going to put their faith and trust in you and not in themselves because it's all about love. and truth. Does that make any sense to you today? That's what it's all about. Where are you at today? Are you there? Do you know the truth that God loves you today? You've accepted that in your heart? Are you still out here in this zone where somehow you think, oh, I can get there on my own, friend? That ain't the truth. You hear me? That's a lie. You need Christ. Father, bless these today that accepted you as their Lord and Savior. May they know that we love them. And we love them by telling them the truth. And Father, I pray those that raise their hands today and all of us will be impressed today with your word to walk in truth and love. Father, help us not to be legalists. Help us not to be folks of license. Help us to be people who are true and to share Jesus Christ from a loving heart to our world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.